Back here on the Black and Blue Report, we are just, hours now? I guess yesterday was the end of the NFL owners meeting, and we're going to hear more from head coach Sean Payton coming up. But with regard to the NFL, we thought we'd really bring in a true Saints expert this morning. We got to get an analyst that can supersede all the others that we have on the Black and Blue Report. So I thought, Harry Connick Jr., why not? Harry Connick Jr. joins us here on the Black and Blue Report. Here you are, Harry. I had to call you to get Saints analysis here after the NFL owners meeting this week. How are you?
I'm great. I don't know if I call myself an expert, but I sure am a fan.
There's no doubt you have represented the black and gold all over the world now, and most notably on American Idol. So thanks from all of us here at 5800 Airline Drive in the New Orleans Saints. You sure have made us proud, that's for sure.
Well, you know, the Saints have made me proud. I've said this so many times. You know, I've been a fan since I was a kid, and I remember after Katrina, and I tell this to people, undoubtedly to me, the Saints are the singular reason that New Orleans is back on the map. I mean, we have so much love for this team in the good times and the bad times, and fortunately, we've had so many good times recently, and it's just been a pleasure to celebrate Coach Payton and Drew and the whole organization, and I talk about them and all over the world every chance I can.
Have you followed the off-season moves? What do you think about what Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton have done here?
Well, you know, listen, I put all my faith in those guys. You know, I mean, it hurts to lose, you know, some players that you've grown so fond of. But listen, these guys know what they're doing, and I'm just excited about the new pickups. And we don't know anything. Like, as I say, we meaning like fans. Like, you can look online, and you know, I have the Who Dat app, and I mean, I try to follow stuff as much as I can, but you never really know what goes on behind the scenes. So I put all my trust in Coach Payton and Mickey and Mr. Benson and everybody, because I know that they really have the interest of the team at heart.
Son of New Orleans, Harry Connick Jr. here with us on the Black and Blue Report. All right, Harry, you tweeted with head coach Sean Payton not too long ago. He seemed unwilling to work the salary cap to get you in on the roster, and you said that you were thinking about a position that you'd play with the Saints. What would that be?
Oh, I'd have to be tight end. You know, I'll happily go in behind Jimmy and Ben, because, you know, I don't quite have the size. I'm running about 6'1", like 210, 215. I don't really have the speed, but I have the enthusiasm. I'm not so sure how good I look in the uniform. I'll sing a hell of a national anthem. I can really rally the team, so I can give a different perspective.
Well, at least you won't have to dunk over the goalpost now.
No.
Because that's illegal. So
yeah, you know, I have a solution to that for Jimmy Graham. As opposed to dunking, I think he should just go and knock the goalpost down, because there's no rule about that.
No, you're in the clear on that part.
So I think if he just rams the goalpost, it doesn't have to be hard. He'd have to knock it down. If he could just slightly knock it off axis, and that'll give him a whole new set of things to worry about. I'm a little bit bummed about the new rule, to be honest with you.
When Jimmy comes back around, I'm going to pass this along to him and tell him that this was your idea, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I got to ask you, what was your reaction when Drew Brees' face popped up on the big screen at American Idol?
I was surprised for two reasons. Drew knows I'm his biggest fan, so the fact that I was legitimately surprised that he had that message for me. But I was actually like, he was saying, hey, don't be too hard on the kids. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, my God, like, Drew, I mean, talk about a work ethic and people, like, beating fundamentals into your brain your whole life. I think I'm hoping he was kidding, because I think it's important in any walk of life to work on your fundamentals. And so I know he was kidding around, because it's important to get these kids to learn their craft, just like, you know, any pro athlete has to do.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, can you draw me a comparison between what you're doing as a judge and or mentor on American Idol and what goes on with a pro athlete? Are there any similarities between the two?
There's so many similarities, and you can use Drew Brees, who I think is the ultimate example of work ethic meets talent meets preparation. It's almost like some of these young performers have so much talent, they could walk onto a field and throw the ball 80 yards on their knees. But they don't necessarily know all the rules of the game. They don't know anything about footwork at this point. Did they have the capacity to learn? Yes, they really do. I mean, they are really, really good, really, really talented. But they have to learn the fundamentals. And the more complex the rules get, the harder the game is. And so what I try to do is I told him on the show the other night when Drew came on, I said, listen, you guys, you're all here. We know that you all have huge amounts of talent. So let's set that aside for a minute and work on how can you get better. And quite frankly, sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable to hear things that sting, you know, like what can you do to get better? But I think it's important that they hear it. And it all comes from a place of great love and care, because all of these young performers really have what it takes.
Our Saints analyst, Harry Connick Jr., is with us here on the Black and Blue Report. Harry, American Idol is really heating up now. And, you know, you and I are similar in age, and I'm somewhat stunned by how much you've packed into your career as far as everything from acting and performing and writing and composing, all of it. And now this new phase of your career with American Idol, has it changed you in any way? How are you different with this experience?
Well, it's really, you know, I don't know if it's changed me. I think there have been some young people, like, you know, early teens probably, that have been exposed to what I do that maybe didn't know. A lot of the very young people in the audience, you know, they may know me from television or movies, but they may not know some of my music. So that's been pretty cool, you know, to kind of turn some new listeners on. But you know, it's the entertainment business, and it's up and down. It's very unpredictable. You never really know what's around the bend. But it's been a great experience. I mean, Jennifer Lopez and Keith Urban are two of the nicest people you want to meet. Ryan Seacrest and Randy Jackson, the whole team could not have been more welcoming, and we're just having a great time.
Speaking of your music, so last night the New Orleans Pelicans pulled off a huge win in the NBA, beating the Los Angeles Clippers. I called the game on the radio. I was so keyed up. I knew that I had to get to sleep at some point for our big visit today.
Five in a row?
That's five in a row. You're right. No, four in a row. Excuse me. Four in a row. We're one off. So on my way home, I knew that I had to kind of bring it down a notch. Every man should know, ripping through the speakers across the causeway. Maybe you should tell me about your latest musical effort, and maybe you should share with everyone what every man should know.
Well, the good thing about being a songwriter is that you can make stuff up and fantasize. And if I knew what every man should know, I'd be a wealthy man, I guess. But, you know, for the album is called Every Man Should Know, and you know, I basically wrote it thinking, like, for example, when I go to a Saints game and I see somebody like Drew Brees or any of those players, and I say, we all wish we could do that, right? I mean, we all fantasize about that. And then, you know, when I see a great work of art, or if I'm on an airplane and the pilot's flying the plane, I think, God, wouldn't it be cool to do that? I can't do any of those things. But I do, you know, love my wife and my family, and I think we all have the capacity to love, and that's basically what the song is about, that we all, what makes the world go round is all of these different talents and skills, but what holds us together is the capacity to love.
Speaking, that's well said. There's no doubt about that. Speaking, Harry, of things that men do know or think they know, we have a mutual friend in Jeremy Davenport who's doing his thing over there at the Ritz-Carlton, one of my favorite spots in the city. He said that I should tease you about a little visit to a pharmacy in the south of France while you two are still touring together.
I remember.
This is about the sunburn. He said that you all went into a pharmacy and you were acting pretty cool about knowing your way around a French pharmacy, tried to get Jeremy some sunblock. As he said it, it turned out to be some sort of oil that he applied to his chest that resulted in, like, third-degree burns.
Well, what happened, the weather was great. And we all were kind of laying out, catching some of that French sunshine. And my buddy Tracy Freeman, I think, was laying on his back. Jeremy was laying on his stomach, and they put this sun oil on. And man, they got burned like you cannot believe. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, for a couple of weeks, I think. I mean, it was awful, blistered, and I felt so bad. I thought it was just, I don't know what it was. It must have been like baby oil or something. Boy, it was terrible. My French isn't as good as I thought.
Apparently not. I thought it was quite amusing, and I can't imagine Jeremy in that situation. It's your dad's birthday today, isn't it? The former district attorney, Mr. Connick?
That's it. He's 88.
Wow. Wow. He is really the center of your eye, isn't he? I mean, other than your lovely wife and children, your father has been a huge influence on you, hasn't he?
He really has. You know, I still call my dad and ask him for advice. And, you know, he critiques me all the time, and I listen very carefully because, you know, I called him this morning, and we were talking about the American Idol show last night, and I just like to hear what he says. Like he was saying, you know, being in political debates, you have a very short amount of time to sort of make the point that you're trying to make, what I'm doing isn't a debate, but just how can I be more articulate and how can I be more helpful? And he's just great at that. He has an immense amount of experience, and I just really look up to him. And I feel so lucky that, you know, I'm 46 years old. I can pick up the phone. I can call my dad, and we can laugh. We can talk about the old days, and I can learn from him. It's just a great blessing.
Harry, you're a Jesuit guy, aren't you?
I am.
Is the story true that you used to entertain during the lunch hour at the piano at Jesuit?
Oh, yeah. I used to do that all the time. In fact, the people who knew me at Jesuit would probably remember that I enjoyed that more than what I was there for, which was going to school and getting an education. But I had a great time at Jesuit, and they were always very supportive of me, giving lunchtime concerts and doing extracurricular stuff. They were great, you know, especially then, because nowadays the arts, I think, I don't know, they're a little bit more accepted, I guess. Like being a musician in an academic environment, I think seems to be more accepted. I'm not sure why. I'm not even sure if that's accurate. That's just the feeling I get. But, you know, I went to Jesuit from like 81 to 85, and, you know, it was a little unusual, I guess, for me to be doing those things. And all the faculty there and the other students, they were always really supportive.
Harry Connick Jr. with us here on the Black and Blue Report, about to wrap up our visit, a very special one at that, with Harry. Harry, I will ask you about American Idol before we get off here, but I do want to ask you to share perhaps how you go about your Saints game day. And I'm sure it's been difficult over the years touring the world and performing in a variety of different cities. But for you, when it comes around to a Black and Gold Sunday or a big Saints game, what better happen in your household?
Well, I'm in one of three places. One is either at the game, which is unfortunately infrequent because I travel a lot. Two is at my house. Everything shuts down at my house. My wife is a huge Saints fan. In fact, she, I think, would leave me for Jimmy Graham, and I'm not kidding about that. My kids are Saints fans. Everything shuts down. If you don't watch the Saints game, then you just have to leave. Or I might be on the road somewhere. The last time this happened to me is that awful defeat against New England in the last seconds, and I was actually auditioning for American Idol, and I was just beside myself because I don't miss games, and what am I supposed to do? I can't, you know, it was happening at the same time. And as professional as I try to be, it was distracting. I was distracted. I was uncomfortable. I was irritable because I knew that the Saints were playing at the very same time I was listening to these singers. So it was awful. I hope it never happens again. But we worked this into my schedule. I mean, I tell my manager, don't book me on those days because it's going to be ugly.
Well, I think that you share that in common with everybody else around here.
Of course, everybody gets it.
Will you bring Keith Urban and Jennifer Lopez and maybe that Seacrest guy too to a Saints game and really show them what a good weekend around here is like?
Listen, Jennifer has worn black and gold twice, and I now she knows. I said, you know what you're wearing, right? She goes, okay, who that? I get it. I'm a Saints fan. I would love to bring them because I watched that New England game with Keith, and I think he saw a side of me he had never seen because it's so emotional, man. It's just so intense watching those games, and I think they both get it. Like, man, this is something that we don't really understand, because if you're not, and you don't see it in any other city. Like, I know people from Seattle, I know people from New York, from Chicago, from Dallas. They're all diehard fans, but there's something else. It's like it's a deep, deep connection, and it goes beyond football. And unless you're from New Orleans, you don't understand.
No,
you just don't get it.
They don't get it. Let me ask you this real quick. You've got who dat. You've got, you know, when the Saints go marching in. Would you give some thought to maybe composing and arranging maybe a quintessential Saints song? Would you give that any thought?
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love to do that.
And I don't know what kind of a style it would be. I'm sure you'd have a better take
it'd
on that than
rocking,
I
would. It'd have to be rocking, man. It'd have to be rocking, because, you know, all the people want to do is have fun and dance and party. So it would have to be a really driving kind of New Orleans groove and a feel-good tune. That's a great idea, you know. I guess those songs that are already written are so well-loved that it never even occurred to me to do it, but maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, you know, I think the whole crunk thing's kind of past me at this point. And maybe in the 10 to 12 minutes that you have in your spare time, you could maybe start to think
I'm
about
not
this.
Over the crunk thing, man. I think we got to give it another year or two.
Another year or two? Okay, all right.
I'm still
enough.
Feeling it, man. I still get chills when I hear it.
Well, it does provide us a winning feeling, that's for sure. You know what? You're a big, big star, but you're our star. So I don't have any problems with having you on the show. I don't feel like I'm impinging on Jimmy Kimmel or anybody else that you've been on recently.
No, so, man, not at all. I'm honored, man. People from New Orleans know how I feel about the city and about the team. So I'm so honored to be able to spend some time with you.
I appreciate it very much. I'd love to have you when we get cranking on the season. Maybe every once in a while you pop in with your analysis of how things are going. How about that?
Man, people, they don't want to hear my analysis.
I'm teasing you.
Yeah.
But at least maybe check in and see how you like how things are going.
I would love it.
All right. Hey, best of luck. American Idol wraps up. How close are we now?
We have 9. After tonight, there'll be 8 left.
Wow.
So 8 weeks.
All right. So on Fox tonight, Central Time, 7, correct?
I'm not sure.
Oh, gosh.
I think it might be, I don't know.
Yep, because I'm getting confused. I've been in 3 different time zones in the last 2 weeks. So
yeah, I'm confused too.
All right, but tonight, American Idol on Fox, and after tonight, we're down to 9.
That's down to 8.
Down to 8. I'm with you now. Congratulations, Harry. We are so proud of you here. You're doing a great thing on American Idol, and keep representing New Orleans as you always have.
Thanks for having me, man.
You bet. Harry Connick Jr. with us here on the Black and Blue Report.